We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Evan Ezer, Hilchas Gittin, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Zion. This halacha is based on chapter 30 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zalveya speaks. The first major topic in that halacha is about how a Jew can achieve Hasoga Selikus, a very high level and deep level understanding of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal explains there that in order to get that kind of understanding of Hashem, it has to be brought down millions of levels through tzimtzumim, through introductions. We gave the example like when a person wants to take a certain very high-level course in a school, usually they give them a list of prerequisites that before you can attend this course, you have to have attended these other six courses which will prepare you, which will give you the building blocks that you need to be able to understand that high-level course. So lahavdil, when it comes to understanding Hashem, person needs all kinds of introductions and preparations and tzimtzumim. Tzimtzumim means constrictions into which to be able to receive that very high-level light. And Rabbeinu Zal said there that a person needs a very, very great rabbi, a great tzaddik who's qualified to do that. But now we're on the topic of a get. Paragraph Zion, V'al kein tzorech lahazkir baget shmoi u'shmo v'shem mekoimom v'hazman. Based on what we've been learning here so far, we'll be able to understand why the most important requirements in a get, in a divorce document, are that it must have his name, the name of the husband, the name of the wife, the name of the place, and also the date. Ki Hashem v'hamokoim v'hazman heim b'chinas klolius hatzimtzumim shel klal habriya. Because these details, names, place, time, they represent all the tzimtzumim of the physical world. The physical world that we exist in is defined by these parameters. Names. The term name can be an actual name or it can be a noun. This is a table, this is a chair, this is a wall, this is a window, this is a light bulb. Every single thing has a name that identifies it, and every single thing is functioning within time and space. So Shem, Mokoyim, and Zman represent all the tzimtzumim, all the parameters, all the boundaries of creation. Ki kol dover v'dover shel habriya yesh loy shem mokoyim uzman. Because every single thing in creation has these three definitions. It has a name to it, what it's called, and it exists within a particular place at a given time. V'Hashem yizborach boro hakol, and Hashem is the one who created everything. Umechaye umekayim hakoil, and he continues to maintain everything in the world. Al yedei shetzimtzem atzmoi bekama tzimtzumim, through the fact that Hashem constricted himself, kaviyochel Hashem shrank himself billions of levels, me'ein soif ad ein tachlis, from infinite, ad shenisave bechinas tzimtzum Hashem. V'hamokoyim v'azman, until kaviyochel Hashem allowed himself to take on these different forms and shapes, such as people, animals, plants, all these different things, which exist within finite parameters, you know, time and space. Shebohem kolul kol hadvorim sheboro, in which is included everything that Hashem created. V'hakoil nivro b'shvil ha'odom. And all of this, the entire creation, from top to bottom, everything, was created for the sake of man. For what purpose? Kedei sheyovin v'yasig elokusa yisborach, so that man should have the ability to understand Hashem and to achieve recognition of Hashem, awareness of Hashem, al yedei sheyikadesh v'yitaher atzmoi, by the person purifying himself and sanctifying himself, ad sheyizke lahasoga selikus, till to the point where the person is able to achieve this kind of understanding of Hashem, al yedei hatzimtzumim hanal, through all of these constrictions of time and space and all the different boundaries and parameters. Ukvar mavur, and we already explained earlier, she'ikr chibur ish v'isha hu rak b'shvil zeh, that the main reason for the union between husband and wife is also specifically for this purpose, kedei lahamshich hamoichin shel hasogas elokus l'yedei zeh, in order to bring sechel of understanding of Hashem into the world through their union, al yedei hatzimtzumim hanal, through these different tzimtzumim of time and space and names and bringing new children into the world. V'alkein, and therefore, kishemafrido me'itoi, when the man is disconnecting the woman from him, when he's separating the woman from him, tzorech lahazkir bahaget, hashem v'hamokoyim v'azman. He must make sure to mention in that document, in the divorce document, the name, her name, the place, and the time. Shehem klal hatzimtzumim, which represent all the finite barriers, all the different parameters, sheshom tzorich lahafrido meitoi, and it's there within those tzimtzumim that he wants to make the disconnect from her. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains this, because before, earlier, we had learned, and in that chapter in Likutei Moran, Rav Nosson explains that when you want to get to infinity, when you want to get to understand Hashem, you need all of these tzimtzumim to help you reach up to Hashem, to help you reach up to Hasogas Elokus, to help you connect with Hashem. Now he's telling us that when you want to disconnect, you have to do the same thing. You have to go through all of these tzimtzumim. So Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain, yes, 100%. Ki yesh b'hatzimtzumim shnei b'chinois. Because these tzimtzumim have two functions. They operate in two different ways. Du sitri, like they say, a street that's a two-way street. Lefomim heim b'shvil hamshochas hashefa. Sometimes a Jew, a human being, must have these tzimtzumim. He must deal with these tzimtzumim, these different boundaries, parameters, these different constrictions, b'shvil hamshochas hashefa, in order to draw shefa. In order, if I build a house somewhere in no man's land in the desert, if I want water, I better make sure to build an irrigation, to have pipes that go from my house out into the street, into the desert, and go for miles and miles until it reaches a source of water and connects. And I better make sure I have the proper nozzles and hoses and the different things to be able to make sure that when I turn something in my house, it's going to be able to draw water from that source of water. Ulefomim lehepechas v'shon. And sometimes a person needs those tzimtzumim for the exact opposite purpose. Bishvil ne'ilas usigiras hashefa, in order to shut down the shefa. When a person has a problem in their house, they have a leak, and their house is getting flooded and this, that, and they call the installator. The installator asks, where's the leak? Where's it coming from? Where's your pipes? Where's your hose? How do you connect to the water of the building? How does your building connect to the water of the neighborhood? You know, so to turn on the shefa, to draw shefa, and to stop, to cut off the shefa, to cut the water so that he can fix the problem and then turn it back on, he also has to know those tzimtzumim. So, hainu, kishetzrichen lahamshich shefa, when we need to draw sustenance from Hashem, light, health, parnosa, money, whatever it is, azai hatzimtzumim heim letoiva gedoyla, then these tzimtzumim serve a very important purpose. What's an example of a tzimtzum? A job, a business, a bank. These are all tzimtzumim. A wallet. These are all kelim, which we use to be able to function financially. A person has to have a wallet. He's got to have a bank account. He's got to have a number. He's got to know where he goes for this. A mailbox. כי בלוי הצמצומים לוי היו אפשר להמשיך מחמס ריבויור. Because without those constrictions, without those kalim, a person would not be able to function, they would not be able to receive from Hashem, because it would be too much light. For example, we give the example always, a person's thirsty, dying of thirst, and another person has a big, big 6-gallon jug of ice-cold, delicious water. The person who's got the water says, you're thirsty? Here you go, and he starts pouring. And the one who's thirsty don't have no cup, there's a problem. His thirst is not going to be quenched. His shoes are going to get wet. The floor's going to get wet. But his thirst is not going to be quenched unless he's got a cup, unless he has that tzimtzum into which he can receive the shefa. Ki roiv toivo yefsher lekabel. Because he has no way of receiving those 6 gallons of water. The 6-gallon jug can't help him. He needs a cup in which to be able to receive 1 or 2 or 3 cups of water. That'll solve his problem. V'alkein, and therefore, ha-tzimtzumim heim toiva gedoyla. These tzimtzumim, these constrictions, these vessels are very, very beneficial to us. Ki heim b'chinas kelim v'tzinoirois lahamshech hadas v'hashef al yodam. Because they serve as vessels and pipes through which we receive the das from Hashem, or the shefa from Hashem, the flow. Avol, however, lefomim, at times, kishe'ein roitzen lahashpia, when a decision has been made to close down a certain house, to close down a certain factory, to close down a certain bank account, when I decide that I don't want my account in this bank anymore. We don't want, kishe'ein roitzen lahashpia, azai mitzamtzemim hatzimtzum yoyser v'yoyser. Then we close that tzimtzum. A tzimtzum is a vessel, it's a cup. When we don't want to drink anymore, we close, or a faucet. I have a faucet in my house, which again, the reservoir can't help me. I need a faucet that gives me a cup at a time. But once I fill that cup, once that cup is full, I have to have the ability to close that faucet. If the thing don't work, if the valve, the nozzle doesn't work, I'm in big trouble. Because it's going to keep running, and the sink will overflow, and the floor will get wet, and my wife will throw me out with the cup, with the water, with everything. So then we close those tzimtzumim, ad shechas v'shom nizgorin hatzinoi rois legamri, to the point where sometimes we have to shut the pipes completely, ve'ein hashefa yoyred eslamato, and to stop the flow of shefa from coming down. V'gamzela toiva, and that also serves a constructive purpose. Why? Kedei shelo yinko me'ashefa oisam shein tzrichem linik misham, so that those who are not supposed to be receiving that shefa won't receive. Right? When it comes down, when I filled up my cup, when I filled up the bathtub for myself, and I don't need any more water, I need to shut the water, because if not, the floors are going to get that water, and the furniture is going to get that water, and they don't need that water. That water is no good for them. So therefore, you need both. You need the ability to use those tzimtzumim to bring down a flow of shefa, and you need those tzimtzumim to be able to close off the shefa when it needs to be closed off. V'zeh b'chinas haget. And this is what that divorce document is all about. That the husband now is constricting himself. He's shutting down. He's closing off all the connections that he had with this woman through tzimtzumim. What are the tzimtzumim? Shehein b'chinas tmunois oisiois haksav. Those letters in the words that he's writing in that get, every single word there is important. If you leave out a certain word, the get doesn't work sometimes. So the shape of every single letter, of every word that's used in that divorce document, are tzimtzumim, sheklulim b'shem u'mokoim uzman. And the most important words in that document are the names, the location, and the timing, the date. However, when the husband gave his wife the ksuba when they got married, That document was all about plugging wire, making connections, pipes between him and his wife, defining what the parameters would be as to how he would provide for her. In the Ksuba, it says, I will support you, I will give you food, clothing, boom, boom, all of these things. And again, it has a date and a time and a place and the names of the people. Now, when the decision has been made to stop the support, not to give any more money, not to break the connections, we also have to have those tzimtzumim. Dahainu b'chinas segiras ustimas hatzimtzumim legamri, meaning that this document is going to be used to close, to shut down those tzimtzumim totally. She'oysan hatzimtzumim, she'al yodom hoyom ashpia bo, those same pipes, those same bridges that he built originally when they got married, by which he was going to support her, by which he was taking care of her, by which he obligated himself, all of these different obligations, oisam daika, those specific obligations, those channels, those pipes that he created between him and her, husoiger v'soisemato, he's closing them and shutting them down now, shelo yashpia bo'oid, that he will no longer be giving her. Vaideze hu kirso umafrido mimenu, and through this, he cuts the connection and he severs the relationship. He separates himself from her. Ki nifsak hakesher, because the bond is dismantled, me'achar shenistemu tzinoyres hatzintzumim shal yodom hoyo mekushor miachad. Once all of those pipes that united them are shut down, are closed, there's no longer a connection between them. The things that were connecting them, which the channels which were opened up in order to connect them, have now all been closed. And this is why the Gemara uses the interesting wording, that the Gemara learns out many of the laws of divorce from the laws of marriage. And it learns out many laws of marriage from divorce, seeming to imply that they're mamish both the same. The Gemara says, v'yotza v'hoysa, that when the Torah speaks about divorce, it says, she will leave, and she will be available for the next man. So it puts those two words right next to each other. The leaving, which means the divorce, and the vahoysa, which is the new marriage. Those two words are written right next to each other. The Gemara says, makish havayo liyitzio le'inyan kamodinim, that regarding many laws, the Gemara bridges these two. The Gemara compares the marriage to the divorce. Why? Because of course, marriage and divorce are the same. Because both of them work the same way. Through those tzimtzumim, through those pipes, those wires, those bridges that were built or dismantled between him and her. It's just that when their relationship began, those tzimtzumim, those pipes and those wires were for there to be a flow of shefa from the husband to the wife or the wife to the husband via those pipes. And when they're leaving each other, when they're going away from each other, it requires closing off those same exact pipes, those same exact wires have to be shut down. That's why the Gemara compares them to each other in many ways, because it's the same thing. It's just a matter of whether it's going in this direction or in that direction, whether it's flowing or whether it's being shut down. Now, we're still in middle of Hilchas Gittin Halacha Dalet, which is based on chapter 30 in Likutei Maharan, and now Rav Nosson Zal opens up a new front. Within this halacha, he's going to discuss the topic of Yibum and Chalitza along the same lines as a continuation of what our discussion has been till now. Hilchos Yibum V'Chalitzo Halacha Dalet. And this next piece, which is part of Hilchos Gittin Halacha Dalet, will serve also as the fourth discussion on the topic of Yibum. V'zeh B'chinas Yibum V'Chalitzo. With this also, we'll be able to understand the procedures of Yibum and Chalitza. When two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, Reuven marries Rachel, and they live together for a certain period of time, and they do not have children, and Reuven passes away, he leaves the world without having had any children, the Torah tells us there's a mitzvah for Shimon, his brother, whether he's married or not, Shimon has the mitzvah to go ahead and marry Rachel now, the widow of his brother Reuven, in order to establish a name for Reuven, in order to give Reuven a name. If Shimon refuses to do so, there's a procedure called chalitza, by which he declares that he does not want to go ahead with this, and there's a whole procedure that the Torah defines, removing the shoe, spitting, different procedures that are done. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, Ki ha'odom, paragraph ches, in Hilchos Gittin Halacha Dalet, v'zeh b'chinas yibum v'chalitza, ki ha'odom bo lo'olam rak bishvil zeh, because a human being, a Jew, comes to this world only for this reason. What's the reason? Kedei sheyamshich hasoga selakus al yedei atzimtzumim. Our mission in life, our mission in this world, is to bring hasoga selakus, understanding of Hashem, and awareness of Hashem into the world via tzimtzumim, via vessels, via children. A child is an example of a tzimtzum into which I'm bringing into the world, which is going to develop understanding of Hashem. V'tzorich sheyashir hashoro achrov boilam, and a person has to leave behind something in the world even after he leaves. Dahainu bonim, for example, children. Kedei sheheim yamshichu acharov hasoga selakus, so that even after the parent leaves the world and he's no longer studying Torah, he's no longer expanding his hasoga selakus, because he's back up in the next world, he's in Gan Eden or wherever he is, he has to see to it that the children that he left behind, they should continue this process of hasoga selakus, of trying to become more and more aware of Hashem. Because that's where their souls came from. The souls of the children come from the brain of their daddy. The seed, we learned earlier, originates from the brain of the father. And again, the brain is the place of Hasoga Silakus. Listen to these next words. Ki kol ma shemesavev Hashem Yisborach bebriya soilomoi v'kiyumoi, because everything that Hashem does and causes to happen in the creation of his world and in continuing to allow the world to exist, hakoil kasher lakoil hu rak bishvil zeh, everything going on in this world is all only for this purpose. It is all only geared towards the purpose of Hasoga Selakus, understanding and recognition of Hashem being brought down into Tzimtzumim, into places, into different countries and cities and oceans and rivers and into different times. Summer, winter, one generation, a next generation. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ki kol habriya he begin de mishta oidoin lei. The entire creation and everything in it is for one purpose, so that Hashem should gain recognition, so that human beings should be zeichah to achieve recognition, awareness, knowledge, understanding of Hashem. Kayadua, as is known, as the Zohar HaKadosh says in Parshas Boi, page 42. And if a person does not leave behind children in the world,
el,
that prevents that person's soul from being able to go up to its final permanent resting place, which is Dahainu Lo'er Haponim, to join in the light of the face of Hashem, to enjoy the splendor of the Oyer Haponim of Hashem. Why? Machma Sheloi Hishtadel Lachtoich Ulahalois Es Hamalchus Chochmotato Mibein Ho'arba Malchiois Ulahaloiso Lo'er Haponim Hameir B'Sholoi Shregolim. Rabbi Nizal explains in that chapter on Likut Imran, in chapter 30, which this halacha is based on, that in order for a person to be zoicha, to achieve this oyer haponim, this light of Hashem's face, they must participate in a certain process. The process being elevating the malchus of Kedusha, the malchus of Hashem, whereby Rabbi Nizal explains there that sometimes the malchus, because it's the lowest level on the totem pole, sometimes it falls into the hands of the Sitra Achra. It's taken captive by the four kingdoms of the Sitra Achra, which are the four exiles that Klal Yisrael experienced. Bavel, Yovan, Poros Umadai, Rome. And when that happens, in order for a Jew to be able to participate, to be able to connect to the Oyer Haponim, he must first be involved in the process of cutting, slicing away the Malchus of Kedusha from the Malchus of the Sitra Achra. He must participate in making that disconnect, in rescuing the Malchus of Kedusha, which has fallen into the hands of and been taken captive by the Malchus of the Sitra Achra. He has to be able to cut that connection, bring the Malchus of Kedusha back up into the arena of holiness, and plug it into the Oyer Haponim of Hashem. When he does that, then he himself also plugs into the Oyer Haponim. Because every single one of us is part of the Malchus of Hashem. There's a famous quote that we mentioned many times, Ein Melech Beloyam. You can't have a king without a nation. And Beroivam Hadras Melech. The more people in that nation, the greater a king he is. So the kingdom of Hashem is made up basically of the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. We say Yisrael Mamshaloisav. The Jewish nation is the Memshal of Hashem. When a Jew who is a member of the Malchus of Hashem falls, when he falls into sins and all kinds of bad things and everything, that means that the Malchus of Kedusha has fallen into the Malchus of the Sitra Achra. When we are in exile, when we're living in America, America the beautiful, or in Belgium the beautiful, or in all of these beautiful, beautiful places, this is an example of the Malchus of Kedusha falling into, being exiled, it's an exile among the Sitra Achra, among the Klipos, among the nations of the world. And when a Jew is zoche to elevate himself, to climb by doing mitzvahs and maisim toivim, by studying Torah and doing mitzvahs, by being oile to Eretz Yisrael, if he's privileged to move to Eretz Yisrael or to travel to Eretz Yisrael, or he at least elevates himself even in those places where he is with Torah and tefillah, that's an example of taking the malchus out of the hands of the, out of the captivity of the kingdoms of the Sitra Achra, and plugging it into the Oyer Haponim, plugging it into Hashem. Which Rabbi Nizal tells us there, the best times when a person can do that most effectively is the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. On Pesach we have the four cups of wine, on Sukkot we have the Dalet Minim, on Shavuot we have the Torah which was given to us in four ways. So those are times that when we make a tikkun for this Malchus, we take it out of the Sitra Achra, out of the four kingdoms of the Sitra Achra, and we elevate it. If the person had been zoiche to do this, then that person would be zoiche to a high level understanding of Hashem. And he also would have had the privilege of passing on this knowledge of Hashem, this awareness of Hashem, to the next generation, to his children, to his grandchildren. This is what Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likut Imran, keneged arbo bonim dibra Torah, that the Torah speaks about four types of sons. So here again, that number four, that magic number four, which represents Malchus. The Malchus of Kedusha is represented by the letter Dalet, the number four, David HaMelech. We know in Shevet Yehuda, the Malchus of the kingdom of the Jewish people comes from Shevet Yehuda. The word Yehuda has two parts to it. Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of Hashem, and the letter Dalet, which stands for David HaMelech, which stands for Malchus. And the Torah tells us, in the Haggadah we say on Pesach, Keneged Arba Bonim Dibra Torah, that a basic family unit is when the parents are zoichet to have four children. Bechinas, this doesn't mean that they're not allowed to have 14 children or 24 children. Or it doesn't mean that if they have three children, they haven't completed a mitzvah. But that's, so we'll see in a minute. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Vehigadetam, the Gemara learns it out from the fact that it uses the word ben four times. It says, Vehigadeto levincha, you will tell your son, you'll tell your children about the miracles. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Vehoidatam levonecha, velivnevonecha, and you will tell, you will enlighten your children and your grandchildren. Kimishom nimshochim kol habonim v'kanal. Because that's where all the children come from. Where do they come from? They come from the brain. They come from the hasoga selukus. That's where they come from. V'kevin shalohi niach zera shel kayoma. And if a person was not zoichet to produce children, pogam b'kol zeh, then there's a deficiency in all of this. V'alkein eino yocho elalois el oyer haponim kiyodua. And therefore, that person is not able to go up to their final resting place, which is called this Oyer Haponim, this light of the face of Hashem, Kayadua, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus. V'zeh, and this is what the Pasuk says in Tehillim, chapter 17, Yisba'u Bonim, they will be filled, they will be satiated with children, v'chulu, etc., etc. And then the pasuk goes on to say, oz daika, and then, ani betzedek echeze ponecha, I, with righteousness, will come to see your face, Hashem, esbo behokitz t'munasecha. I will be filled in my state of being awakened with your picture, with your image. I'll be able to see you, Hashem, very clearly. When? When yisbu banim, if I was going to be fully satiated with children. Ki hishlim tselem demus tavnisoi al yedei habonim. Because a person completes his structure, his complete structure through the children that he has. Aval kishe ein loy bonim chas v'shalom. But if a person does not have children, chas v'shalom, azai hu ke'ilu memayit es hadmus. Chas v'shalom, it's as if there are some pieces missing in his structure, in the total picture. K'mo sham Rabbi Seinazal, as the Gemara in Yevamos, page 63, uses that wording, that a person who refuses to get married, a person who refuses to have children, chas v'shalom, he is subtracting, he is deducting from the dmus, from the image. V'alkein, einoi zoiche lebechinas echze ponecha. And therefore, that person cannot be zoiche to see Hashem's face completely. Ki eino yocho elalois lo'er haponim. That person doesn't have the ability to go up to the light of the face of Hashem. And now Rav Nosson Zal clarifies this. Ki tselem dmus tavnisoi, because when we talk about the image, the structure and of a person, the complete structure of a person on a spiritual level, or kaviyocha, when we speak about the complete structure of Hashem, hu bechinas klolius hasoga selukus, what that, another way of representing that is, that represents complete, total understanding of Hashem, al yedei bechinas hatzimtzumim me'ilo lo'olul, mi sechel elyon sechel tachtem, by bringing it down to lower levels and lower levels and constrictions and further constrictions and pipes and wires and all kinds of things that decrease, that you don't get the whole billion watts in one shot. The billion watts goes into all kinds of levels that break it down smaller to smaller and smaller units so that you can relate to it. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, ki yesh seichel shehu nikra b'chinas ayin. There is a certain aspect of seichel that's referred to as the eye. You talk about a person who goes to school, a person who wants to be an optometrist, goes to school to study the eye. What are you, nuts? I know about studying biology. You can study the eye? The answer is yes, yes. There are millions of pages written about the eye, about the incredible chachma of Hashem, in how the eye was created and how it functions and how the different parts of the eye interact. And if this becomes too big or this is too small, if there's too much light, too little light, there's so much knowledge, awareness of Hashem and knowledge and chachma and seichel that's referred to as the eye. V'yesh seichel shenikra b'chinas yad. And there's another branch of seichel that's called the hand. V'yesh seichel shenikra regel. And there's another branch of seichel that's called the foot. We know, again, in the medical field, you have an eye doctor, you have a podiatrist. Each one, mamish, has a title. Each one is a world unto itself, a world of study unto itself. That's just in one, I'm giving you one example of it. Again, on a ruchnius level, there's certain aspects of knowledge. The eye represents chachma, the right eye represents chachma, the left eye is bina, the right eye is chesed, the left eye is gvura. Each and every thing, each and every part of the body represents a different branch of seichel. V'chein b'shar hoivorim, and so too every part, every single part of the body. V'chein b'prote proteus. And then again, you can break it down to further levels. The hand. Each finger is a complete unit of study. And the finger is broken down into three parts, you know, and each part of that. Kol aver v'chol gid sheyesh lodom bifnim u'b'chutz, every single organ and every single pipe that a human being has inside the body, on the inside and on the outside, kulam heim keneged sichlim shel hasoga selikus. Every single part of the body corresponds to another branch of study in the wisdom of Hashem. In other words, besides the study, the study of physiology, now we're talking ruchnius. When we talk about Gemara, Masechta Yevamos, Masechta Shabbos, each one of those Gemaras, each branch of study of theology, of religion, corresponds to a different part of the body. We know that there's 613 parts of the body corresponding to the 613 parts of the Torah. The Torah has Taryag Mitzvahs. The human body has 248 organs corresponding to the 248 positive commandments. And it has 365 tendons corresponding to the 365 negative mitzvahs of the Torah. So every single part of the body corresponds to a different seichel of understanding of Hashem, Shehem Bechinas Shmois of Hakdoshim, which are also the names of Hashem. Every part of the body has a different name of Hashem that relates to it. And every branch of study of Hashem corresponds to a different name of Hashem. V'chol hadoyrois boim lo'olam b'shvil zeh. And all the generations of human beings in this world, the generation of Adam HaRishon, the generation of Avram Avinu, the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, the generation of Rashi HaKodesh, all the different generations come to the world for this purpose. What is this purpose? Lahashlim tselem demus tavnisoy kaviyochel, to complete the picture, to complete the puzzle, the painting. Each generation, each person is putting his piece into the puzzle. Rashi put in his piece into the puzzle. Tosfos put in their piece to the puzzle. Each one is adding pieces to the puzzle. Lahashlim tselem demus tavnis kaviyochel, to complete the jigsaw puzzle called Hashem kaviyochel, al yedei yediosam oisa yisporach, through their study of Hashem. By studying Hashem, by studying the Torah, each and every generation is fitting its piece into completing this total picture. Because it's impossible for any single generation to have the ability to put all of those pieces into the puzzle. Impossible. For this reason, every generation has to see to it to perpetuate itself, to produce the next generation, to have to bring children into the world. So that I will contribute my part to completing that puzzle, both in the Torah that I myself study, and in the children that I bring into the world, who they will continue, hopefully, studying Torah, doing mitzvahs, filling in their pieces of this puzzle, and thereby completing this Tzelem Elikim. V'alkein, and therefore, kishein loy zera, chas v'shalom, when a person does not have children, Einoy yochol la'alois la'or haponim. They cannot go up to that final resting place because they didn't finish their job. They didn't complete. There's something that they need to complete that's dependent on them that they didn't complete. V'alkein, asuro ishtoy lihinosei lachutz, afilu achar moisoi. And therefore, this person, when he passes away, his wife is not free. She's not free to the whole market. She is not yet released from him completely, even after he dies. Kama Shekosov, as the Pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim, chapter 25, Loisihye Eishes Hameis Hachutzo Leishzor. This woman is not yet available to the outside world, to the marketplace, to another man. Because a woman is released completely from her husband upon his death, because, you know why she's released? Because his soul goes up, it leaves the world, Ve'ein nishar kesher beinehem, and there is no longer any bond, any connection between them. When that happens, then she becomes free. Aval ze shemeis b'loy bonim, whereas if in their relationship they did not have any children, in a case where the husband died without having any children, adayin nisharo nishmosoi boze ho'ilam, his soul still remains in this world to a degree. Kshura baragle ochiv. Where is it? It is bound to the feet of his living brother. If he has a brother that's still alive, his soul clings. The brother that passed away, part of his soul clings to the brother that's living, waiting for him to make his move, waiting for him to perform yibum or chalitza on the widow. Ki eino yecholo la'alois lo'er haponim. Because the brother who passed away, his soul cannot go up yet completely to the oir haponim. V'nisharo kshura baragle ochiv. But rather, it remains attached, clinging to the feet of his brother. The Arizal explains this and discusses this. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Vategal Margaloisov. This speaks about Rus lying at the feet of Boaz. This connection, this soul connection, connecting to the feet. Umachmazeh, and because of this, Ishtoi Kshura Boyadayim, this widow is still bound to her dead husband, to the husband who passed away, Al yedei hahu rucha deshodi begava, through that Holy Spirit that he injected into her during their first relations, during the first relationship, which we said before, the Gemara says, that first relations does not produce any child. She cannot become pregnant from that first relation. So what purpose does it serve? From that first relations, the husband injects a certain ruach, a certain spirit into the woman that remains with her, and that enables her to have children from that point on. Now, if they didn't have any children, that ruach is still there. That ruach is still inside of her. She'eino yoytze mimeno, it does not leave her. Machmas she'eino yochol lihiporeid mizeh ha'olam. Because her husband who passed away, his soul is not yet free to disconnect completely from this world, because he did not leave behind children in the world, who would recognize Hashem, who would be aware of Hashem, and that was one of the most important reasons for which he came to the world. And it's for this reason that the Gemara says there is a draw, there is a magnetic draw from that widow to her husband, to her dead husband's brother. She is zokuk to him. She is drawn to him. There's a magnetic field connecting them. Ki ach litzoro yivoled. There's a pasuk in Novi which says that a brother was created to help in times of tzara, in times of emergency. The Gemara says that a good friend is good in good times and in bad times. But a brother, you need him in cases of emergency, like this. In a case where one of the brothers left the world without children, then it's only his brother who can step in and save the situation. V'alkein ishto yizuk, right. Ki ochiv yeshloi koyach lahakimoi, because his living brother has the ability to lift him up and to establish him, lachzor ulahamshich nishmosoi, to reactivate the soul of the brother who passed away, al yedei haben sheyoled, by this living brother now producing a child with the widow, kamo shekosuv, as the pasuk says over there in Chumash Dvarim. Yokum al shem ochiv hames, that when they have a child, that child is a tikkun for the brother who passed away. Kayodua, as is known in all the holy sfarim. Paragraph Tess, V'alkein, and therefore, mi sheyesh loy ben, a person who does have a child, mikol makoim, no matter what kind of child it is, poiter es ishtoy menachalitzo menayibum, he releases his wife. When he passes away, his widow is under no obligation at all for yibum or chalitzo. As the Gemara says in Yevamos, page 22, ki afilu ben rosha poiter, even if the son is a rosha, he does not study Torah, chas v'shalom, he does not keep shab, doesn't this, he still releases his mother completely from any obligation of yibum chalitza. Why? How? If you told me, if we learned before, that the whole mission, the whole purpose for having children is awareness of Hashem, recognition of Hashem, it would seem logical that if I have a child and the child refuses to acknowledge Hashem whatsoever, then I didn't do anything. Rav Nosson Soloveitchik is going to explain that's not true. Listen carefully. Ki keneged arbo bonim dibra Torah. Because again, we say in the Haggadah on Pesach that the Torah refers to four different types of children. Ve'echod mehem Rasha. One of the four is Rasha. Ve'gamhu bichlal harbo abonim, and he is also included as one of the four types of children, asher al yodom mamshichin hasoga selukus, through which we draw recognition of Hashem. U'megalin u'maydiyin yediyah selukusay midor ledor, and we reveal and pass on recognition of Hashem and acknowledgement of Hashem and knowledge of Hashem from generation to generation. How? What are you talking about? The guy is the opposite of Hashem. He does everything that Hashem doesn't want a person to do. Ukamay Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, chapter 16, Koil Po'al Hashem Lema'anehu, everything that Hashem has created, everything, the good and the bad, all of them are really Lema'anehu, are all serving Hashem's purposes. Vegam Rosha Leoim Ro, and the Pasuk says, even a Rosha on a bad day, on one of his bad, even he is serving Hashem's purpose indirectly. He don't know. We know that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, I remember seeing some of the commentaries in Pirkei Avos tell us that again, from some people you learn what you should be doing, and from certain other people you learn what not to do. A person would say a jail system. What do you need a jail system? What do you need to do? The answer is so that the people that are not in jail should know that if they do the same thing, that's where they're going to end up. That's why we need people to know that there is a concept of Rishon, there is jail, there's punishment and everything, for people to know what not. There's a pasuk, Me oivai tichakmeni. From my enemies, I draw knowledge. There are things to be learned from the Yetzer Hara. The Chofetz Chaim used to say that in the winter in Poland, freezing cold, there's 3 feet of snow there outside, and there's no heat in the apartment. The two or three logs that they lit, you know, before they went to sleep went out. It's freezing. And time to get up in the morning to go to shul. And the Yetzer Hara says, you crazy, you're nuts, man. You're going to put your life in danger. It's early, it's middle of the night. You can't go out at a time like this. And the Chofetz Chaim, he would listen carefully to the words of the Yetzer Hara, and he'd take the cover off, and he'd say, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. So you know what I'm going to do? It's a question, the bed, there's only room for one of us in this bed. And rather than me take the place, I'm going to get out, and I'm going to put the cover up, fix the pillow, everything. You get under the car. I don't want you to go out into the freezing. Just like you're so concerned about me, I'm even more concerned about you. You stay here. I'll be right back. Don't move. I'll be right back. So we know you have to learn from everybody. So here, Rav Nosson Zal continues, Shegam al yodoi nizgadel v'nizgale yidiyosa yisporach. Even through him, even through the Rishoim, is revealed and broadcasted the awareness of Hashem. Ki af al pi shehu rosho ba'avoyna yomus, because even in those cases where a person is so bad a rosho that as a result of his sin, he's going to die, al shesho al shaloi kohagen, because he asks questions in a wrong kind of way. He takes himself out of the category of Jews. Remember in the Haggadah where the Rosh says, what are you guys, why are you guys doing that? He doesn't say, why do we have to do that? He says, why are you guys? So the Pasuk says, he took himself out of the community, so he's out. The Kofar Beikar, and he denied the essence of Hashem. Aval Yidei Shemakin Eshinov. However, by punching out his teeth, by knocking out his teeth, umeshivenloi, and responding him, giving him the proper response, bavurzeh os Hashem li, that's why Hashem saved me and he didn't save you. That's why Hashem saved me from Egypt. Aideze daiko nizgadel Hashem yizborach v'nizgale yidios yizborach. Through that interaction, sometimes through the interaction of the tzaddik and the rasha, Hashem is glorified. And if there were no rasha, they wouldn't be able to see. People wouldn't be able to see the great. When the rasha gets punished, or when the rasha gets put in his place, when his question is answered, when somebody who insults Hashem, and then somebody proves that this guy's a total idiot, big shot, he thought his question was such a deep question, his question is a joke, through that, Hashem's honor gets heightened tremendously. We mentioned, I think, recently, the story of the Ramban. The Ramban was one of the greatest tzaddikim that lived about 1,000 years ago. And the Ramban taught many students. And one of his students went off the derech big time, big, big time. He converted out of the religion, and he would do things spitefully. So one day, he came to the Ramban, and he said to him, Rabbi, I want to ask you a question. I cooked pork and milk together on Yom Kippur, and I ate. How many violations of kores did I do? So the Ramban thought, and he said, five kores. So he said, Rabbi, I have to correct you, it's six, because I also did this and this. And the Ramban looked at him, and the Ramban recognized him, that this was his student Avner from years before, who had been one of the students of the Ramban. We're talking about a different league completely from the greatest rabbis of our generation. So the Ramban looked at him and said, why? Like, why? How? How did this happen to you? How did you? He said, you want to know, Rabbi? I'll tell you. No problem. You once gave a shiur, you were once giving a class on Parshas Hazinu, which is one of the smallest parshas in the whole Torah, 40 psukim. And in your shiur, you said that in this parsha, we could find the entire Klal Yisrael, the whole Jewish nation, from the time of Adam Rishon till today, is all included in this Shiras Hazinu, because every part of the Torah is a microcosm of the whole Torah and the whole world and the whole creation, everything. And I heard that, and I knew that that's absurd, that's impossible, that's ridiculous. So I didn't believe that. And because I didn't believe that, I started not believing the other things you taught us also. And here I am today eating pork with milk on Yom Kippur. And Rabbi, I still say I'm right. I still say that you don't know what you're talking about. That I don't see how. Show me, where am I in Parshas Hazinu? This is what he said. The Ramban looked at him and said, okay. He walked into a corner. He went into a corner of the room like a good Breslover. And he started talking to Hashem and asking Hashem, open my eyes. Let me be zoicha to see. They didn't have Google at the time. He couldn't Google him. He couldn't Google him. So he asked, he did better. He got it from where Google gets it from. He got it from Hashem. He went straight to the source. He went to Hashem and said, Hashem, could you please enlighten me? Show me where this Avner is in Parshas Hazinu. He came back, and he said, okay, I got it. And he quoted him a pasuk from Hazinu, where the pasuk says, it speaks about when the Jews are going to be terrible. They're going to do terrible, terrible things. And Hashem says, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to erase their memory from the world. It says there, Omarti Afehem, I said, I've had it with them. I'm done with them. Ashbisa me enois zichram. I will erase their memory from mankind, from civilization. And he told him, if you take a look at those words, the third letter in each one of those four words spells Avner. Aleph Beis Nun Resh. This man heard this, and he turned white and purple and green. Now what do you do? Now what do, buddy? You thought you were so cute, you were so smart, you disproved the Ramban, you caught the Ramban's mistake. You were able to show that he don't know what he's talking about. And because of that, you lived a certain way for the past 25 years, and now suddenly you come back and you find out that the Ramban was the real deal. That that every word that came out of his mouth was Shechina Medaberes Mit, was Hashem speaking. Now what do you do? So he turned to the Ramban, white. And he said, Rebbe, what do I do? What do I do? So the Ramban said to him, you heard what the Pasuk said. So it's brought that this person went, he took a boat, a rowboat, went out to sea, and was never heard from again. Period. So here's an example where a person like this, the fact that we can tell over this story today, this story was written 1,000 years ago, and it's found in the Seder HaDoiros. There are a number of Sfarim that bring this story. From him, we can learn a very big message, that when we're learning Parshas Hazinu, or when our rabbi tells us something that doesn't seem so logical or rational, take your logic and put it in your shoes. Take your logic and get rid of it. And you better know that there are things above logic. Hashem is above logic. The Torah is above logic. There are things that you don't necessarily understand. And that doesn't mean it don't exist. That doesn't mean it's not true. Kikishikvar gilo horosho hakfirus. Back inside. כשכבר גיל הרשע הכפירוס והפיקור שלו, because once the Russia has revealed his denial of Hashem, his apikurus, once he said his piece, והצדיקים זויכם לשברם ולהקוי ששינם, and the true tzaddik is זויכה to smash him and to knock his teeth out, to disprove him, אזי הוא טויבה גדולה, מה שכבר הוציאו לחוץ מליבו מחשב תמרו. Then it's already a tremendous benefit, the fact that they gave their thoughts, their ideas, that they've expressed their ideas already, they've said their piece, these Rishonim, כי זה טויבה לדוירויס, because this is a tremendous benefit for generations afterwards, כי לא יוכל עוד אחר לא אמר שטוס הקושי והכפיר הזויס. Because now, nobody's going to be able to come today and say, hey, Rabbi, I don't believe that. I don't believe that in Parshas Hazino my name is there. Ki kvar nishma shtus chakira zois. Because we already heard that one. We already heard that complaint. We already heard that form of denial of Hashem and everything. Vahat tzadikim sisorua ushforua. And the tzadikim wiped it out. They destroyed it. They smashed it. V'ato ma yesh lemoid loymar. So now what do you have to say, buddy? U'bishvil zeh, and for this reason, Hashem Yisborach marich af lo rishoim. Hashem shows tremendous patience when it comes to the rishoim. V'noisein lehem koyach sheyoimru ma sheyoimru. He allows them to say their piece, to say their stuff, to print their books and everything, kedei sheyotziu milibam kol rishusam ukfirusam atomun belibam, so that they give out from their hearts all their evil ideology, all of their thoughts and everything. They spit it out, they say it, and they put it, they write it, ad shelo yeh lehem maalim roed, until they have nothing else to say, v'achar kach, and right after that, Bedibur echod shel tzadik emes, with one statement of the true tzadik, yipoil v'yizbatel kol shtus divreim haroim. All of their nonsense, all of their foolishness is wiped out. This man, 25 years of his rishus, of his eating tray, doing all kinds of, making fun of Hashem, making fun of religion, everything, the Ramban solved it in that one meeting. And this is what the Pasuk says, Kol Ruchoi Yoitzi Ksil, a fool gives out all of his wind in one shot. He says his whole piece in one round. The Chacham Be'ocher Yishabchena. Whereas the wise man, the Chacham, stays in the back, he waits, he bides his time, he waits for the right moment to pull the trigger. To pull the trigger at the right time, where in one bullet, he resolves the whole big wind. It's interesting, for those of you who are Syrian, you'll appreciate this, hopefully. My rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, was such a special person. He was Zeuche during a certain part of his life to teach Syrians, Sephardic Jews. And in order to have the right connection with his students, he would always try to pick up words, Arabic words, and to be able to include them and assure him sometimes to make them feel more at home. So even though I'm not Syrian and not Arabic, but I remember some of the words he used that were very special, some of the expressions. I remember in Arabic, there's an expression called Shibi Hawi, which means bag of wind. When you want to say, when you see a guy that looks like a big, tough guy, and he's got, whoa, 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 and he's screaming and yelling, person looks at him and knows what he really is. He says, Shibi Hawi, the guy's a bag of wind. He's nothing, you know. He looks so big and powerful, looks like a big hurricane and storm. 5 minutes later, the storm's over and it's nothing. That's this kol rucha yoytzi ksil v'chocham ba'ocher ishabchena. V'zeh b'chinas. And this is what Hashem said to Paroi. V'ulam ba'avur zois hemadeticha. This is why I put you up there. This is why I made you the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Bavur haroischa eskoichi, in order to show you my power. Uleman saper shmi b'chol horetz kanal. And so that my name, my honor and glory will be told over the entire world through Paroi, through that Russia Paroi, who used to take baths in the blood of Jewish kids. Through him, Hashem was glorified. I apologize, we're going a little into overtime just to finish this piece. V'alkein. Shibi Hawi. V'alkein, and therefore, b'mehera b'yomenu, very, very soon, k'sheyovoy ha'goyel tzedek, when Mashiach is going to come, v'yizgala ho'emes bo'ilam, and the truth is going to be revealed in the world, yihye toiva gedoyla, it's going to be a tremendous benefit, ma shekvar hoyu kol kach mechakrim v'apikursim v'koifrim bo'ilam, the fact that there were all of these non-believers, Rishoim, scientists, all of these people who denied Hashem in every different way possible, Shekvar Chokru Mashe Chokru. These guys who did all their studies already, they wrote all their books and all their theses and all their studies disproving Hashem, disproving the Torah, Chas V'Shalom. V'Amru Mashe Amru, and they said everything they wanted to say. V'Hayu Mevazen Es Yisroel Amalaitzis in Kol Kach, and they insulted the Jews and made fun of the Jews. V'oz yiru b'neihem, when Mashiach will come, everyone's going to see very clearly shehakol hu behefech, that it's the exact opposite of what these guys thought. V'yisharu ke'even doimim, and those people who are making all of these speeches and making all of that noise and broadcasting all of their messages about truth, and all of these great universities, these glorious universities that were denying Hashem, they'll be like silent boulders, like a stone. That's how quiet they'll be. They won't be able to open their mouths anymore. And all will admit the truth. And for this reason, Ben Rosha, who gam kein min ho'arbo bonim, shal yodom moidin alakusis borchsborach. That's why we said a son who's a Rosha, a child who's a Rosha, is also included in one of the four types of children who glorifies Hashem. V'gam shi'choyin lotzis men abonim k'sherim. And don't forget, buddy, there are a lot of cases where people had children and their children were not religious, not this, and then the grandchild became a rabbi, became a tzaddik, a talmud chacham, who knows what. K'mayisham Rabbi Stanislav, as the Gemara says, dilma nafka minei b'nin d'mali. Maybe special children are going to come from him. So don't kill him. Don't cut him off. Don't throw him away. U'k'mayisha kosa b'zoyer HaKadosh, as the Zoyer HaKadosh gives an incredible example, il mole hoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu meimis es terach, Koidem sheyatzu mimenu Avraham, lo yohaya Avraham, v'chol hava yisboilem. If Hashem would have made a decision to kill Terach, the Gemara says he was called Terach. Terach means boiling, because he made Hashem's blood boil. The Rosach, he had a department store of Avodah Zarah. Imagine Macy's, no just wall-to-wall idols, blue idols, green idols, hydroponic idol, every kind of idol you could want. And this guy made Hashem so mad and so mad, but Hashem held on. Hashem didn't pull the trigger. Because if Hashem would have killed him before Avram Avinu was born to him, lo yohaya Avram v'chol avo yisboilem u'moshe Rabbeinu u'moshiach v'chol atzadikim, we wouldn't have had the whole Klal Yisrael. Ayin Shom. Take a look over there in the Zohar HaKadosh. We'll hold it over here. I'm sorry we went into major overtime, but it's an important piece.